Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nathan.
And today we're going to share some important travel tips for Christians wanting to explore the country of Bulgaria. Hey, Christian travelers, we have our amazing co-host on with us again this week. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today. It's a pretty good day. How about you?
I'm doing well, too. For listeners, if you don't know, Nathan is my brother. He also has a passion for travel and for the Lord. Nathan, can you tell us how many national parks that you have been to so far?
Ooh, that's a good question. Right off the top of my head, I think it's 8. I haven't hit too many, but hoping to hit some more in the future.
And how many times have you been out of the country so far?
Just once. I've been to, well, I guess twice. I've been to Peru, and then I have also been to Canada. Just crossed the border briefly when I went to Niagara Falls, and then also briefly once when I went up to Glacier National Park. There's a national park out there, Waterton. They're kind of connected, so those two times.
Nice. Sounds like you took advantage of some national parks to go see another country at the same time.
Indeed. Yeah, it's a great opportunity, and I'm glad we got to go.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, today we're exploring the country of Bulgaria. Nathan, do you even know where this is? Had you heard of it before our research? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't really know much about Bulgaria. Know it's in Europe. That's about it. Not exactly sure where in Europe, but that's what we're here today to learn about.
Exactly. Yes, we've done some research and we're here to present it to you. So, today we're sharing Bulgaria, and let's go ahead and find it on a map. Bulgaria is located in Southeast Europe and is bordered by Romania, Serbia, Greece, Turkey, and Macedonia. In terms of size, Bulgaria is a little smaller than the state of Tennessee, which is where I'm at, so comparable. Bulgaria experiences a diverse climate with 4 distinct seasons, and the best time to visit actually really varies by region. Summers, June to August, are ideal for exploring mountainous areas. White coastal regions are more popular in the warmer months. And December to February, the temperature is probably between 30 to 50 degrees, and June to August between 60-85. So, I don't know. It seems like the weather even matches Tennessee. Like, not too terribly hot and not too terribly cold.
Yeah, but I'm interested in the landscape. If a country that's the size of Tennessee has such a vast landscape with coastal regions, mountains, and differing temperatures, like even across like the four seasons, when the best time to visit is, that's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Tennessee is pretty, I feel like, equal across the board, so it's interesting that such a small country can be so diverse. Well, Nathan, we always like to start an episode off by diving into God's Word. Can you share our Bible verse for today?
Yeah, this Bible verse comes from Matthew 5, verse 16. It says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven."
This verse kind of hits home, I think, for this country that we're going to go explore, but also share our light as we travel, even if we aren't going there necessarily as what we think of traditional mission trips. If we're going there on vacation or in any other form, how we interact with the locals, how we represent Christ truly does matter. So we also have some important reflection questions to also ponder as you get ready to explore this country. And the first one is, if you had the chance to explain your faith to someone from this country, what aspects or teachings might resonate most deeply given their cultural background, and what might be new to them? So we'll keep that one in mind.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Excited to learn about the cultural background there. The next question that I had was how might visiting this country give you a new perspective on your own culture and faith? What assumptions might be tested?
Ooh, that leads to some maybe foreshadowing of what we're gonna learn a little bit more about this country. And then how do you think the history of Christianity in the country has shaped the expression and practice of faith there today? What might Christians elsewhere learn from this? How Christians live out their faith while we all hold to the same biblical understandings and teachings that Jesus is our savior is universal, but each culture lives it out slightly differently. So it'll be interesting to explore that from a Bulgaria perspective.
Yeah, that's very excited. I'm ready to dive into it.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at their faith and culture. Now, while neither of us have been to Bulgaria, we've done our research, and so these are some points we want to share with you. First of all, the official language of Bulgaria is Bulgarian. However, many people also speak Russian, and English is becoming more common, especially in tourist areas. In terms of their religious population, they are 69.5% Eastern Orthodox, 10.7% Muslim, 5% have no religious affiliation, 4.7% are atheists, 4.4% have no religion, and an additional 8% bent, at least in the survey that was done, didn't specify. And that leaves a remainder, a mix of some smaller religious beliefs.
Yeah, I see that Christianity came to Bulgaria in 864, year 864, when Tsar Boris I adopted Byzantine Christianity for the region during the First Bulgarian Empire. And then he stepped down from the throne for a while, but when his son tried to return to a pagan religion, he actually uprooted his son from the throne. So that's very interesting there.
So he brought Byzantine Christianity, which later kind of turns into this Eastern Orthodox Christianity. And he was around during the time of Constantine, when Christianity was starting to emerge as a larger religion and wasn't as heavily persecuted. And so Constantine was trying to make all beliefs kind of universal and the same, and all the practices universal. But this Tsar Boris I, he ended up getting Constantine to agree to them being kind of their own separate belief or denomination, I guess is the right word, their own separate denomination. And so he had a large impact in Eastern Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I think it's really interesting that he stepped up to remove his son from the throne then. I wonder who then replaced his son and what if it went back to then the Christian and the Christianity aspect or what happened there?
I think he killed his son. I know he went back to the throne. His son was trying to bring back the pagan religions of before and he wouldn't allow it. So he made sure that Christianity became the official religion at the time.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely. So we always take a little bit of time while you're largely going to encounter people in Bulgaria that are Eastern Orthodox. One of the other largest largest religions there is Islam. And so we always like to take a little bit of time to help acquaint you with different religions so that you can better share and witness on your travels. And a large part of that comes from this book, The Christian Difference. I use it to do some of my research. So today we're going to be talking about Islam, not in its full depth because we've covered it in previous episodes. So check out links in the description below. But we're specifically going to look at the Trinity and what they believe about that. When it comes to the Trinity, one of the major points of Islam is the belief that Christianity has altered the Bible. In fact, it's part of like the Quran is that Christians have altered the true biblical history. And with that, one of the things is the understanding of the Trinity, because they believe, kind of like Christians, in one God, but they believe that our view of the Trinity, three beings, one God, is a disgrace to monotheism. So they cite the Trinity as a major point of this is where Christianity has altered scripture. So the Nicene Conference caused a great split between the Western and Eastern churches, kind of as we talked about, based on the view of Jesus being the Son of God and Son of Man. They had some different disputes on that. And so this is further reference where the Islamic belief says, if you as Christians can't agree on this, then is it even true? Has it been altered? And they also cite the Virgin Mary, that we've kind of, especially in Catholic traditions, deified her and made her into a thing of worship, which is, again, another thing against a monotheistic God. So while they believe in a Holy Spirit, as mentioned in the Quran, it's not part of the Trinity. In fact, they view the Holy Spirit as the Archangel Gabriel. So they just have a completely different understanding of the Trinity than we do.
That's very interesting. So does the Holy Spirit then in the Muslim religion still play like that same role in helping bringing us to faith? Or is that something completely different?
Being honest, I don't fully know. I don't remember reading the full specifics on that. But I do think that there's kind of that guiding piece that the Holy Spirit still plays. But more in the archangel form. See, I think like in Christianity, we know that the angel, Archangel Gabriel, can only be in one place at one time, like physically limited, whereas the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. So now that makes me wonder how they view the Holy Spirit. Are they everywhere, or is it just in one physical place?
Yeah, that's very interesting. And then that also makes me think how they view the Archangel Gabriel. Does Gabriel have like more power or something than Christianity would view Gabriel as? Or I wonder how that works.
Yeah, it can be, it's definitely an interesting topic to do some more research on, but I don't have all the answers on this one. But I do want to ask you, Nathan, when you learned about the Trinity, did you ever have a unique, like, symbol or, like, when you were taught the three but one, do you remember any specific, like, visual lessons for that?
So I do remember, actually, from a youth conference I went to, they had an apple, and they were talking about, like, three different parts of the apple, like the skin, the actual, like, part that you'd eat, like the mealy part, and then the seeds, and then they grinded that apple up, and it was just like kind of like applesauce in the sense that it was one but three different parts making up that. But even that isn't like a perfect description, of course, because we can't truly wrap our minds around how the Trinity works. But yeah, that's the description that I always think of when people talk about the Trinity.
Yeah, I really like that one. Similarly, I've seen bananas used with a very similar idea. And then more recently, I've heard of the fidget spinner analogy, where like when it's fully spinning, you can't distinguish the three pieces, but they're all there and have their different roles. Just they're working as they are one and they're working as one.
Interesting. So. Yeah, that's kind of funny. Definitely a way to appeal to the youth.
Indeed. Well, if you get the opportunity to talk with a Muslim, some important things, I would encourage you to, again, listen to some of those other episodes that go a little further into details about what they believe. But some points that are really important is don't insult Muhammad or dwell on the differences between Christianity and Islam. Well, we need to understand that to be able to kind of know what we're walking into in a conversation. They hold those differences as an area of contention and proof that our religion isn't legitimate. So dwelling on that is not going to build bridges. Another thing is to focus on similarities in the story, such as they both believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and Jesus did miracles, etc. And then on the other side, it's a very false hope. They believe a lot in their works earning their salvation, but we know that the law condemns. So pointing out that we aren't perfect and really never can be. And then a really great Bible verse to turn to is John 1, verses 1 through 14, that says Jesus is the eternal word of God. And that means that his truth never ends, which holds him in a stronger light than I think Muslims tend to hold him. Also, don't say that Jesus is the Son of God, because the way that they view Jesus being physical or spiritual are two very different things. So that can be very confusing to reach them and help them understand. Also, of course, always be praying as you go into that conversation and ask lots of questions to understand where they come from and why they do believe what they believe.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we talked a little bit about it in like our last episode. But it's important to just always be kind. I think of the people in my life that have given me like good advice that I actually have used and taken. And it's always people that I feel care about me, that are nice to me and kind to me, and you know, that truly want the best for me. And so if you're going into a conversation like that, and like you said, bringing up things that are arguments, points, or things that might be a little controversial, I think that's a way to kind of alienate yourself. And so you always want to be just trying to build that relationship and to be their friend and someone that they would look to for something like advice.
Absolutely. I really like that, bro, because we as Christians are meant to share God's love, and he was willing to die for everyone, no matter their background, their sins, and ultimately, no matter what religion they have been following. But it is obviously through faith alone that we're saved. But because of that, we are to mirror Christ. Now that we've gotten through the meat of that, let's go ahead and share some ways that we can culturally connect with one another, some etiquette points. Bro, what do you have to share for this country?
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about being friendly and making those connections. So some ways you would want to do that. First of all, it's important to note that shaking your head like no actually means yes, and nodding like this means no, which would be like completely confusing if you're just used to the American culture.
Yes, I nod my head all the time when someone's talking and I'm like engaged in conversation. So that'd be like me saying no the whole entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something that would be hard to break.
Yeah.
And next, punctuality is highly valued, so you're going to want to be on time. Dinners can take a couple of hours as they prefer socializing during a meal. So that's a way to really get to know people, is to have some of those meals with them. And they also value honesty, which to some people can seem really blunt because they will just be upfront and honest and won't sugarcoat things necessarily. But that's just something that is important to their culture and important to know. Finally, it's customary to stand during the entire church service. So you're going to get a little leg workout during the church services. Just something to be prepared for. And then finally, coffee shops and social places are actually a big part of their culture. So that's something that I think maybe is lacking a little bit about the U.S. is it's kind of hard to find those places to socialize. Luckily in Bulgaria, you're going to be able to find those social spaces to make those connections.
Absolutely. Honestly, that intrigues me. Like, I want to go just to have that social interaction. Although punctuality being highly valued, bro, based on our previous episodes. Not sure if this is gonna work for you.
Yeah, it might be a little problem for me. I'm definitely gonna have to set a couple of alarms.
But yes.
We'll probably make it work.
Absolutely. Okay, well, now the part that you guys have all been waiting for, and that's taking a closer look at some of the fun destinations. And up first, we have the Rila Monastery in Bulgaria. It's nestled between the Rila Mountains and is an UNESCO World Heritage Site, a kind of spiritual haven. It's founded in the 10th century, and its stunning architecture and vibrant frescoes in the main church tell the story of the Bulgarian rich Orthodox Christian heritage. You can experience the tranquility of the surroundings and marvel at the culture and religious significance of this ancient monastery. Even just like looking at some of these pictures of it, it is definitely unique. I know Orthodox use a lot of imagery to kind of connect with the Lord, so you can just see that in so much of their intention behind this destination.
Yeah, it looks really like a great art piece, really. Really cool.
Yeah.
All right, next thing I have is in Sofia, which is actually Bulgaria's capital, and it is the Alexander Nevsky Cathedral. In Sofia, this majestic cathedral, it's an iconic symbol. It has golden domes and an intricate interior, and is a masterpiece of Bulgarian architecture. And it's also a way to learn more about some of the religious beliefs in the country. So definitely some place that would be really cool to check out while you're there.
Absolutely. I've admired a lot of images of just like the green, lush landscape of Bulgaria. And I feel like they've managed to kind of incorporate that into this building and just like the way they designed it.
Yeah, for sure.
Up next, we have Plovdiv Old Town. It's one of Europe's oldest cities and boasts of a charming old town with cobblestone streets and well-preserved Roman ruins. Immerse yourself in the rich history of the region, wandering through the revival-era houses and visiting the ancient Romanian theater. Feel the echoes of the past in the vibrant city that seamlessly blends antiquity with modern life. I don't know, when I think like Greece and Europe in general along the coastline, they have such vibrant houses and have found ways to nestle it into the landscape right along the coast, and the beauty of this place definitely astounds me.
Yeah, it always makes me think of like how they build those. Like, I've never actually seen those houses right on the cliffs being constructed. So that'd be something just cool to see, is something like that being built.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Next I have Bansko, which is Pirin National Park. Head to Bansko, a town nestled in the Pirin Mountains, and a gateway to the Pirin National Park. This natural haven offers breathtaking landscapes with alpine meadows, pristine lakes, and diverse flora and fauna. Experience the beauty of God's creation as you explore the hiking trails and take in panoramic views of the mountainous scenery. Yeah, and this is a little bit more of the mountains that you were talking about when you think of the country. Definitely a cool place if you're into hiking and being outdoors.
Yes, I love all the water as well. It's just like lush green. I don't know. Definitely going to spend some time there if I ever get to go. Next up, in Veliko Tarnovo, Bulgaria's medieval capital, is home to the Zarevets Fortress. Perched on a hill, the fortress is a testament to Bulgaria's medieval history. Wander through the ruins, envisioning the tales of royalty and battles that unfolded within its walls. The sound and light show in the evening brings the fortress to life, offering a captivating experience of history and culture. I don't know. For those of you that are history lovers, I feel like this would definitely be a place worth visiting.
For sure. I'm always interested in like the battles that take place, so that would definitely be a great place to learn about that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So those are some great places to visit in Bulgaria, but as always, I want to challenge you to be intentional about growing in your faith while you're there. So spend time in the mountains, counting your blessings, or attend a local worship service. If you're looking for English worship services, you can join our platform, christiantravelers.net, and get our itinerary and list of English services for the area. You can also pray for the youth, that they may have a heart for the Lord, unity in outreach of the churches, etc. So in closing, Nathan, what are your thoughts? Will Bulgaria make it onto your travel list?
I'm not sure Bulgaria would be the top of my list. I do really want to visit Greece, and because it's so close, I think it would definitely be worth a visit there. But I don't think I would go specifically just to see Bulgaria.
Okay. I think that's a very honest review. I wasn't so sure to begin with, but I personally am not a huge fan of like super populated dense areas. And so I feel like I could see myself enjoying the coffee shops and enjoying the landscape and doing the hiking. I think I would enjoy myself there quite a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, Christian travelers, thank you for tuning in today. We have a couple notes and then we'd like to pray out. So first of all, we want to encourage you to join the network. If you're looking for itineraries, people to travel with, or other adventures, whether it's to Bulgaria or some of our other upcoming trips, such as a Bible study and beach in the Carolinas, going and doing some women's retreats, Immortal Rock Fest, all are welcome on our platform. You can plan a trip and invite others to join along and connect with other Christian travelers there. So head to christiantravelers.net. And of course, we also have amazing communities. Many are backpacking in Ireland, Australia, Central America, traveling for concerts, or just having Zoom meetups to meet others on the site and do Bible studies together. So definitely some amazing opportunities. So with that, let's go ahead and close out today with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful country, for the way that you shine your light there. Lord, we thank you for such amazing landscapes that we can get to go and travel and visit. Lord, be with the locals there, that they may know your love, and that as they share their culture with us, that we may be open to learning a little bit more. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, Christian travelers, thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, safe travels and God bless.